Good morning. Today's daf in Baba Kama Lamed Ches. We're going to be starting with the Mishnah line Lamed Zayin at Beis, and we get to one of the more outstanding Mishnayos. Outstanding over here just simply means standing out. Meaning there are going to be a number of halachas that we go over here in Nezikin. Most of them are mistaber. Most of them are intuitive in nature in terms of damaging restitution. But over here, so as you can imagine, this Mishnah has been. A bit of a sticking point. We start. Shor she yisod shenaga, shor shel hekdesh. First part of the mission is nice and easy. So shor she yisod that does the damage to shor shel hekdesh. In other words, over here, the victim is an animal that's belongs to hekdesh. V'shel hekdesh shenaga, shor shel hejot. Or alternatively, a shor of hekdesh does damage to a private shor. I mean, a private shor meaning a shor owned by a private citizen. So in either direction, patur. So there's going to be an exemption from having to pay. And it's exeris akasuf. In other words, the Torah says that when it comes to restitution and having to make good on any damages that you've done, so the Torah says, shoreehu. So it has to be that your animal damages the shore of another person's animal. So in other words, only from private party to private party. But if you're now going to damages done in either direction, either towards hektesh or from hektesh, in either direction, patur. The Mishnah continues, Shor Sheh Yisod Shenagach Shor Sheh Kanani Pater. Now, if a Shor Sheh Yisod does damage to Shor Sheh Kanani, so a Ptur Legamre, full exemption. On the other hand, Shor Kanani Shenagach Shor Sheh Yisod, Bein Tam Bein Muad, Mishal Nezek Shalan. And in the other direction, where the damage is done from the Shor Kanani to the Shor Yisod, so there, even if it's a Tam, he has to make full restitution. Okay, so obviously over here, you can imagine that this Mishnah seems to present halachas where there are carve outs in terms of damages that are required to pay. First one is not going to be terribly controversial. The second one in the Mishnah is in fact going to be terribly controversial. Hold that thought. Put a pin in it. We're going to come back to that second part of the Mishnah in just a minute. Meanwhile, however, the Gemara jumps right away, dealing with the first part of the Mishnah. Right, that's how the Gemara always operates. It always handles the Mishnah chronologically, sequentially. So here we're looking now at the first part of the Mishnah. Masisin, the Loker Rabbi Shimon Manasya. As far as our Mishnah is concerned regarding the Ptur Hekdesh, it's not following the opinion of Shimon. Detanya Shor Shel Hejot Shenagach Shor Shel Hekdesh, Vishel Hekdesh Shenagach Shor Shel Hejot, Patur Shenemar Shor Re'eu Velo Shor Shel Hekdesh. Good. So you'll probably notice that that our Mishnah follows exactly like the Tanakhama. And Rabbi Shimon ben Manasya Omer Shor Shel Hekdesh Shenagach Shor Shel Hejot Patur. Now, according to Rabbi Shimon ben Manasya, if I have a Shor Hekdesh damaging Shor Hejot, so there will be a patur. On the other hand, Vishal Hejot Shenagach Shor Shel Hekdesh Bein Tam Bein Mu'ad Mesham Nezek Shalem. On the other hand, if anyone of a Shor Shel Hejot were to damage Shor Shel Hekdesh, you have to make full restitution, and that is even if it's a tam. So, Amri, my time, my case of Rabbi Shimon. So now what we're trying to understand is the pshat behind Rabbi Shimon. Meaning, from a drasha standpoint, it's going to be hard to defend, and the Gemara is going to try to defend. So, my case of Rabbi Shimon. Irei odafka, afilo shal hajesh, shenagach shal hektesh li pater, v'irei olav dafka, afilo dehektesh namiki nagach dehejil l'chayev. So the Gemara says, well, we remember the Mishnah? You don't have to go that far back. It's just we read the Mishnah off 2 minutes ago. But the Mishnah taught us that Re'ehu is to be taken literally, meaning that the only time there's going to be liability is when the damage is done from private to private. On the other hand, the Mishnah says that if the damage is done any time between private to Hektesh or from Hektesh to private, so then there's going to be Ptur. Why? Because the Torah says Re'ehu. So if you understand, like our mission does, like the Tanakhama of the Brisa, that Re'ehu is to be taken literally, perfect. In other words, Hektesh is exempt, period. And it doesn't matter whether it's on the obligation side or on the receiving end. It doesn't matter. So there, it makes perfect sense. But again, that's if you're the Tanakhama. Now, but what if you're Rabbi Shimon? Because Rabbi Shimon says that there is a one-sided liability. But how does that work? Either you darshan Re'ehu or you don't. And v'chitem l'olam kesav Re'ehu dafka. So the Gemara says, okay, so maybe Re'ehu is to be understood literally, like we proposed. But then what you're going to have to go on to explain is, well, how come it's only one-sided? So, umiyu, de'ejo kinagach de'ektesh hainu tamid de'mechayev, when hektesh does damage to So the reason why you're going to be chayiv is mishum dekamaisi lei mikav chomer. It could very well be that on top of the drasha, we have layered on top of that a kav chomer. And the kav chomer will go like this. So mikav chomer dehejot. Ma hejot shenagach shal hejot chayiv. Ki nagach the hejot shal kol shekein demechayiv. So the Gemara says, well, look, if hejot does damage to hejot, you're going to be chayiv. If hejot does damage to hekdesh, and hekdesh has more kedusha, more sensitivity. In other words, it would seem like we should extend the halacha where you should be chayiv. So the Gemara says, "Da'ilav amid and lioskenadon malal and tam chatinezek hachanami chatinezek." So the Gemara says, "Okay, even if it were kavachomer, that would extend the liability." But the Gemara says, "But you know how kavachomers work, right? We spent a daf earlier in the Masechta discussing this very topic of how kavachomers work." And that is the kavachomers. You cannot exceed the liability greater than where we're learning it from. Dayo. Right? Dayo, the rule of Dayo. And so therefore, when it comes to hejot, it's chazi nezik for tam, it's nezik shalom for muad. And now we're going to use the kavachomer to extend that liability to hekdesh. We should say the same thing. Chazi nezik for tam, and nezik shalom for muad. And yet, according to Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh, it's going to be nezek shalom right from the beginning. So it can't be operating through kav chomer because we have the rule of dayo. So elam reish lakish hakol hayu bechlal nezek shalom. Okay, so what we're going to say is the following, and that is we're going to give a different approach. So the word re'ehu is really going to be davka, and reish lakish says, as far as Rabbi Shimon is concerned, hakol hayu bechlal nezek shalom. So everything really should be starting at nezek shalom, meaning that, and we had a similar type discussion earlier in the Masechta, and that is that what's your default setting when your animal damages? Is your default setting that it should be zero liability or should be 100% liability? Okay, do you remember when we talked about chatzi nezek, whether it's a kanas or whether it's mamon? And it's the reason why we have that debate is simply because we were debating where's the starting point. Good. So over here, according to Reish Lakish, hakol hayu bechlal nezek shalom. Really, the starting point for any damage that's done is going to be nezek shalem. And then, so re'eu de tam mishalem chati nezek mechal de hektesh bein mor mishalem nezek shalem. And what the Torah is doing now is the Torah is saying the following, is that really the starting point is going to be nezek shalem. Then the Torah says, oh, but wait one second, we're going to have a carve-out. And that carve-out's going to be is that if your animal's a tam, we're going to cut you a break. And we're going to take it from full liability to partial liability to half liability, otherwise known as chatzi nezek. But that carve-out is only re'ehu. That's only when it's private to private. Then and only then are we going to have this carve-out, which means now that when it comes to hektish, what are we going to do by hektish? We're going to set it at the default. What's the default setting? Nezek shalem. Beautiful. Dimke nechzor kra lahai re'ehu gabi muad. In other words, why isn't re'ehu written by muad? Meaning, if you look carefully in the psukim in the Torah, you're going to see the word re'ehu, and where is it? Where is it assigned? You're going to find it by the parsha of tam, not by muad. So why is that? So in Reish Lakish's explanation of Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh, it's because what the Torah is telling us is that this specific carve out of chatzi nezek is only limited to hejot damage, but once it's hejot to hektesh damage, so then we're not in the carve out area. We are at the default, and the default is nezek shalem. Okay, adkan. So what we did is that we said a pshat both in the Tanakhama, which we saw in our Mishnah, that there's going to be an exemption of hektish in either direction because re'ehu is simply to be taken literally. It's that simple. And then the Gemara also went through the sheet of Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh, who says that hektish to hejot patur, hejot to hektish is going to be chayiv. And the chiv is going to be a full liability, and even if the animal's a tam. And how do we get there? Gemara took a moment, but the Gemara got there in terms of giving a svara. Okay, sure.
So is it the halacha that
Yifar
Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh?
No, I assume the halacha is like our Mishnah, meaning it's the Mishnah, it's the Tanakhama, Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh, it's a Shitas Yachid.
So how come there's no counter to Reish Lakish now? Because you guys have last word.
The Gemara was only tasked with the explanation of providing one for Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh, meaning all we're trying to do is just understand.
Oh, I see.
Okay. The Gemara now goes over the second half of the Mishnah. Amre mimanafshach. Now, Shor Shel Yisrael that does damage to Shor Shel Kanani, Ptur Lagamre. opposite direction, Shor Shel Kanani damaging Shor Shel Yisrael, full liability, even from the beginning. And the Gemara says, okay, now, so let's try to figure that out. How does that work? So Amri Meiman of Shach, Ireo Dafka, the Kanani Kinagach Yisrael Amin Lipater, the Ireo of Dafka, Afil Yisrael Kinagach the Kanani Nechayev. Okay, so obviously over here, it can't just simply be the interpretation of the word Re'ehu, right? Because if Re'ehu was to be taken literally, and the only time that there's going to be a liability is this one when it's going to be Shor Yisrael to Shor Yisrael, so that means that Shor Yisrael and Shor Kanani, any damage in either direction should be putter. But obviously that's not the din. So in other words, it can't be just simple the simple definition of the word Re'ehu. Okay, so Amar Rabbi Abahu, Amar Kra, Amad, v'yamoded, Eretz v'yiter goyim. So I know it's a funny place to start, but a pasuk in Chavakuk, when a trei asar. And so over here, the pasuk describes how HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw, and v'yater goyim. And what Hashem did is he was matir. He allowed. Let's explain. So Ra'a, Hashem v'mitzvah shikibol aleim b'nei noach, kevan shalokimu amad v'yiter mamonam liso. So there are Hashem v'mitzvah b'nei noach. The Gemara is in Sanhedrin, Nun Zion, Nun Ches, Nun Tes, goes over in detail the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach. I told you already, mnemonic, an easy memory aid, is that it's the daf of Noach in Sanhedrin. So it's really easy. So Nun Zion, Nun Ches, Nun Tes goes over the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach. Good. The Navi describes how, as much as they were obligated to keep the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach, they were obligated, but they didn't keep it. And as a result of that, a kenas. Kadosh Baruch Hu imposed a kenas, and so therefore was matir their mamon. Okay, good. So the Gemara has provided an explanation as to why it is that if damage is done from Shor Yisrael to Shor Shel Kanani, so it's patur. So how do we understand the patur? The patur is a function of the kenas, in that they weren't diligent about keeping Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach. Obviously, this is going to be a significant point of contention. Meaning, who exactly made the Knas? When was the Knas made? Is this really? I'm asking questions, by the way, which I'm not going to have answers to. But I'm just speaking out some basic issues. Is it really going to? Are we going to be able to make any differentiation between those that do keep and those that don't keep the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach? Meaning, is it universal? Is it specific to a particular community? Okay, the Gemara really does not provide details. It sounds like from our Mishnah, it is a blanket patur. But however, with the explanation that was just provided by us in the Gemara, I can easily see, and not only can I see, it happens to be that, again, I did a little bit of research, did a little bit of preparation. There are Rishonim who speak like this. That maybe we should make differentiations between those communities that abide by the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach and those that don't. Okay, but we'll leave it at that. If I may, just one quick moment. It's not my style at all, but just to add one point about the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach. Right, a couple of parshios ago. Right, we're already past Vayeshiv. It moves too quickly. But just a couple of parshios ago in Parshas Vayishlach. So you know that Shimon and Levi wiped out the entire city of Shechem. And so, so in terms of Shechem himself, so he kidnapped and he violated Dina, and so therefore, right, he violated one of the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach, and therefore he's subject to capital punishment. But that's Shechem. What about the rest of the city? So the Rambam writes, and this is a point of controversy, but just we're talking about the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach. So the Rambam writes that the rest of the city also deserve Misa because. The Rambam writes, because the rest of the city didn't observe one of the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach. You know which one that is? Dinim. In other words, to set up a court of law. In other words, that when a member of the community goes ahead and violates one of the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach, it is then the society's obligation, responsibility, to go ahead and to serve justice and to put that person away. Or in this particular case, in other words, Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach does not require incarceration. Right, that's not a Jewish ideal. But in other words, and don't worry, what I'm going to replace it with in just a moment isn't going to be much better. But in other words, a violation of Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach deserves what? Capital punishment. So in other words, what they should have done, the rest of the city, is they should have brought him to justice. Nobody in the city did. So for a failure of dinim, so therefore the rest of them were also chayv misa. That's the Rambam's explanation.
Is there hasra requirement for that?
Yeah. The Gemara in Sanhedrin discusses. I don't remember the conclusion, if you'll forgive me. I don't remember, but the Gemara in Sanhedrin discusses. And then at this point of the Rambam is controversial because, in other words, there are of the seven Shiva mitzvahs Bnei Noach, six of them are lavim, one of them is an essay. The six lavim, I'm not going to go through all six right now, but in other words, one of them is don't steal, which is what Shechem did. He stole. In other words, he took dina, abduction. So that's stealing. So chayv misa. The controversy is that for sure, for any one of the six, you're chayv misa. The Gemara is very clear about that. However, what's not clear is that there's one mitzvah's essay, one positive commandment, and that is to set up a court of law. That's the one positive. Are you also subject to the death penalty for failure to observe the essay? According to the Rambam, the answer is yes, meaning the Rambam is very clear about that point. In fact, that's how the Rambam explains why it is that the city of Shechem all deserve to be chayv misa, because they failed to do dinim. That's the Rambam's explanation. However, many Rishonim, the Ramban, right there on Chumash, right at the head, but many Rishonim disagree on this very point. Many Rishonim say, the chi of Misa for Shev Mitzvahs Bnei Noach are only for the Lavim, not for the essay. But then, of course, you have to understand the Ramban. It goes on to explain. And this is where I'm going to tap out. But the Ramban goes on to explain how it is that the Shimon and Levi were justified in killing the entire city of Shechem. In other words, obviously, if you disagree fundamentally with the Rambam, which the Ramban does, so then you're going to obviously need an explanation of why they were justified in taking out the whole city. Anyway, okay, sorry, that was just a short tangent. So over here, so a kenas imposed on the Umos HaOlam for not subscribing, not conforming to the Shev Mitzvahs Bnei Noach, and therefore they are going to be there will be an exemption from liability. So Rav Yochanan Amar Mehacha Hofia Mehar Paran. So Hofia Memonam LiYisrael. Okay, so so Rav Yochanan gives a different explanation. Now Rashi's understanding over here, Hofia, if you look me Paran, second Rashi, there are only a few Rashi's here on the Amud. So Kishesiva Vichzer Torah Kol HaUmos V'lo Kiblua. So the way Rashi understands Rav Yochanan, it's slightly different. It wasn't because they did not comply and conform to the Shev Mitzvahs Bnei Noach, but it's because they rejected the Torah. That's Rashi's understanding of Rav Yochanan, which means that Rav Yochanan is significantly disagreeing with Rabbi Abbahu, right? Rabbi Abbahu says is that their exemption from liability, again, exemption from liability not being a good thing, meaning that the exemption from liability is a function of non-compliance with Shev Mitzvahs Bnei Noach. Meanwhile, according to Rav Yochanan, it's because they rejected the Torah. Okay. Tanya Namiachi, the Gemara supports a brisa. I'm sorry, the Gemara cites a brisa. Shoshi Yisrael Shenagach, Shoshi Kanani Pater, Shoshi Kanani Shenagach, Shoshi Yisrael Bein Tam Bein Mur, Mishal Nezik Shalem, Shenema Amma Via Moded Eretz Ra'av Via Ter Goyim, Va'omer Hofia Me'ar Paran. Okay. So so over here, the brisa, exactly as presented by Rabbi Abbahu and Rabbi Yochanan. Interesting, by the way, that in this brisa, it sounds like the two psukim are making the same point. The way Rashi presented it, the way I presented Rashi, they kind of are two separate points. Anyway, my va'omer v'chitema, hi, amavia moded eretz mi bayle l'chadrav masel l'chadrav Yosef, so shoshma ofiyah me'apara, miparan ofiyah me'monam l'Yisrael. So the Gemara says, why did the Brisa feel the need? After citing the pasuk in Chavakuk, so why did the Brisa also need to quote the pasuk regarding Paran? So the Gemara says, because the pasuk in Chavakuk may be already taken to make an additional point. Now, my Rav Masna, what is that additional point? So the Gemara goes and explains right away. Damer Rav Masna, Amavi Amodei Eretz Ra'av V'chulei, Ma Ra'a Sheva Mitzvah Shinistav Alem B'nei Noach V'lo Kimom, Amar V'Higla Osam Me'al Ad Masam. So according to Rav Masna, by virtue of the fact that they were not compliant to the Sheva Mitzvah B'nei Noach, so they were sent into exile. Umay Mashma Dahai V'yater Lishan De'agluyehu. Now V'yater means that they're sent into exile. How do you get from A to B? So the Gemara says, "Ksivah chaviyater goyim uksivah asam lanater b'hem al haaretz." Okay, when the Torah describes some of the grasshoppers that are kosher, so you know you're going to be looking for various telltale signs on the grasshoppers, and they're going to have like little antennas on the front of their head. we have lost the Masara. I'm speaking to the B'nai Ashkenaz and then most of the B'nai Sfardim. We have lost our Masara in terms of which grasshoppers are kosher. Right? The Torah identifies four different types. Anyway, so the Torah describes linater, right? These antennas that help them find their way. Umetargim lekatza b'hona ala ara. And if you look at Targum over there on that pasuk in Parsha Shmini, so linater is translated as kafatz, to jump. In other words, okay, so in other words, linater means to basically to jump from one place to another. And we're understanding it now that these goyim were now sent into exile. They were jumped. Okay. Not the best English, but you understand. Umay de Rav Yosef, and also another way to darshan the pasuk, and that is the following. Dam Rav Yosef, amad v'yamadet eretz rav v'chulei. Rav Yosef also quotes this pasuk in Chavakuk and also has a drasha to make. And that is, Ma'ra, Rasheva, Mr. Shekibel, Alem, Ben Enoch, Velokimum, Amad Vihitiram Lahem. Viatir means that he was matir. In other words, he allowed, he untied. So, Itgure Itgar. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. So the that's it, meaning that their money is going to be, their money is going to be allowed, meaning there's going to be no liability if, in fact, their animals are damaged. And now they're going to benefit from that, meaning they're going to get schar. So im kei matzina chotei niskar. So amar marbere de ravana lama shafilu mekayma mosam in mekabla meim schar. So the Gemara says no. The way Rav Yosef understands the pasuk is that even if they're mekayim, the shevet mitzvos b'nei Noach, so they are not going to get schar. The Gemara says, but I don't accept that. The Gemara immediately rejects that idea. V'lova atan Rabbi Meir amar minan shafilu nach rivosik b'tora. So shehu kikoin gadol. So if you have a guy who is learning Torah, now learning Torah over here, you'll see in today's daf, you don't have to go that far. In today's daf, it will be clear that we're not talking about Torah in large. We're talking about Torah vis-a-vis Shev Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, meaning that it's a guy's responsibility to know what the Shev Mitzvahs B'nai Noach are. In other words, that's universal law and they need to know it. In order to know it, they have to learn it. So Oseg B'Torah over here means in Shev Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. So, and when I'm saying, by the way, the Rashba says it, and just in the context of today's daf, it's very clear. That's what it means. So, Shuka Kohen Gadol, and the Gemara says, and he's on a very elevated level. So the Gemara says, Tamalama, Asher Yaseh Osam Adam V'chabahem. So, Kohanim Levim V'Yisrael Lo Namer Ela Adam. Halamata Shafil Anachri V'Oseg B'Torah Harika Kohen Gadol. Anachri involved in the learning of Torah is like a Kohen Gadol. So don't tell me that even if he engages learning, performance of Shev Mitzvahs Ben Noach, he's not going to get schar. The Gemara says, I can't entertain that idea. So Amri, Ein Mekabla Malei Meschar, Ke Mitzuvah V'Yoseh, El Kimi She'ena Mitzuvah V'Yoseh, Dam Rabbi Chanina Gadol Mitzuvah V'Yoseh, Yoseh, Mimi She'ena Mitzuvah V'Yoseh. So the Gemara says, you're right. Of course you're right. In other words, they are going to get schar for both the study and the performance of Shev Mitzvahs Ben Noach. But they're not going to get the same level and degree as somebody who is commanded. Meaning they're going to get stripped. They were, in fact, stripped of a certain degree of schar. They, of course, are going to get schar. It's just a question of degrees in which they're not going to get. It is eino dama. You can't compare somebody who's mitzuvah v'yosa versus somebody who is eino mitzuvah v'yosa. A point the Gemara makes numerous times. We recently saw this back in Kedushin. Lamed Aleph, thereabouts in Kedushin. We went over this idea in detail. Good. So the Gemara says is that was the downgrade, if you will, of the Goyim. That they, of course, are going to get schar, just a lower level of schar. Okay. Tanur Rabbanan Kvar Shalcha Malchus Rami Shnei Sradyo Tos Eitzo Chachma Yisrael. Okay, so Goyim sent a couple of officers to go learn Torah with Chachma Yisrael, the Yerushalmi. I don't know Yerushalmi, he quotes it over here. The Yerushalmi says that this is specifically Rami Gamliel. So they're learning Torah with Rami Gamliel. And Eitzo Chachma Yisrael, Lamanu Torah Schem, Karu Vishan Vishoshim. So instructions were given that you're going to teach us Torah. Now Rami Gamliel taught them Torah. Tosus over here, and like I said just a couple of moments earlier today, it's clear that in general, you're not allowed to do this. But Tosos is Karu Vishan Vishilshu. So Rami Gamliel had a seder with them where they learned the Torah not once, not twice, but three times. He went and chazed over Torah with them. Okay. You look at Tosos over here. V'im Torah V'hamrin B'chagi Gam Lami Torah L'Ovi Kochavim over ba'asei de magid varav liyakov. Okay. So Tosfos is bothered. I don't understand. The Gemara in Chagiga says that you're not allowed to teach an Akum Torah. So how can Rabbi Gamliel do it? And Tosfos answers right away. V'yishlam de ba'al karcha chasu al pi divrei hamokshel. V'lonitzchai v'lim saratzman. Okay. And so Tosfos gives the answer, which probably you would have guessed, and that is that Rabbi Gamliel didn't have a choice. In other words, either teach him Torah or he has to give up his life. Now, this is not one of the Gimel Chamuros. In other words, there are only not even a handful, right? Very few things that you have to give up your life for, right? Avodah Zarah Gila Reishvich Hasdamim. Now, truth of the matter is that for Kiddush Hashem, of anything, you do have to give up your life. And truth of the matter is, Shmad, for anything, you do have to give up your life. Okay, so I say only three. That's not accurate. Point is, however, says Tosfos, this is not one of the things you have to give up your life for. In other words, if he was told, by the Roman Caesar, you're teaching my officers Torah, the alternative is you're going to die, and you don't have to give up your life. That's Tosfos right over here. Anyway, Uvishas Petirasan. So now they're leaving Rabbi Gamliel. And Amru Lahem, Diktaktim B'chol Torahschem V'emesu. So look, in other words, we have to acknowledge, we have to admit, every part of your Torah is emes, okay? Which in of itself is amazing. They were moda al ha-emes. However, chutz midavar zeh she'atam armim shor she'iso she'nagach shor she'kanani pater, and she'kanani she'nagach shor she'iso b'intam b'in mor, m'shalab nezek shalem. So, miman avshach, ireo davka, afilu kanani kinagach li'iso li pater, v'ireo lav davka, afilu di'iso kinagach te'kanani lechayev. And they turned to Rabbi Gamliel and they said to Rabbi Gamliel, you know, this halacha, right? It's so funny. In other words, we could speculate, but of course we don't know. But we could speculate it offended them. But what's amazing and what I really appreciate of this Gemara is that what bothers them is the inconsistency. In other words, if you're going to darshan reo to be understood literally, so then there should be patur in either direction. And if Re'eh was not to be understood literally, in other words, whenever you damage, you're simply going to have to pay, so then you should be his chayvus in either direction. So in other words, what bothered them is the inconsistency, meaning they accept the rules of the Torah, and then when put to application over here, it's just inconsistent. That bothered them. So v'davar zeh in anu modim osel amachus. However, what they said is that what we're going to do is that we're not going to reveal this to the Malchus, meaning that, in other words, now that we have full context of what the Torah says and what it sounds like, so in other words, taken out of context, obviously, it sounds terrible. But in other words, put in its framework and in its context, so they said, okay, look, we don't understand it. This is the part that obviously bothers us, but we were also given the full complement of Torah. So in the context, we see it. And basically they said, well, we'll keep this to ourselves. Rather remarkable story. The Gemara now is going to be telling another story. So there is some connective tissue between the upcoming story we're about to do and that which we just did. Admittedly, this story is a bit of a tangent. Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda Shchivale Barte. So Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, so Rachmanis, he lost his daughter. And Amrle Rabban Leula Kumnezal Nin Chamei, and so the Chachamim said to Ula, so new, let's go pay a shiva call, and we'll give Tachnunim, give Tanchumim. So Amrle Hu, my Isach Kabei, and Nechamta de Bavlei de Gidufahu, the Amri Ma'iv Shalom Avid Hav Shalom Avid Avde. So Ula declines the invitation. I'm not going to be giving Nechama together with you. I'm going to pay a shiva call, but I'm going on my own. I'm not going with you. You guys are now. I'm just going to say it strong, and I'm just, you know, bracing everybody. You guys are terrible at giving nechama. Ula says to the Chachmei Bavliim, right? Here, I'll give you an example of what you say. You said, look, what can we do? Meaning, it's a terrible loss. My efshalama ave. What could we do? That's an example of what you Bavliim say. And of course, the implication is that if something we could have done to change it, we would have changed it. And that, Ula says, is giduf. That's blasphemy. In other words, not only are you not allowed to talk that way, you're not allowed to think that way. Right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu decrees, and in other words, right, we are in service of him. He's not in service of us. And if we could have done something, we for sure would have. He said, that's ridiculous. Okay. So Ula says, so I'm not going with you. And he clearly is putting down their view of what Nechama should sound like. Okay, you're going to hear a number of times throughout Shas, just to give you a little bit of background. Ula comes from Eretz Yisrael, right? He makes Yerida. Okay, off the top of my head, I don't remember why. I don't remember. I'll be honest. But he makes Yerida. But at the same time, however, often throughout Shas, right, he's unhappy with some of the practices of the Bavliim, and this is a perfect example where you could see clearly how unhappy he is with the practices of Chachmei Bavel. Okay. Azulu Chudai Gabe. Okay, good. So he pays a shiva call on his own. Now, again, by the way, I'm going to brace everybody because he's going to be providing his own nechama. Now, after having lambasted the nechama that was given by the Chachmei Bavel, so I'm just bracing everybody, his nechama is going to also come out to be a little bit harsh. Okay. And I'm also acknowledging on the front end, even before we hear it, okay, it's going to be ironic, right? In other words, he's telling the Chachmei Bavel, you don't know how to do it. And meanwhile, we are going to hear what he said. Okay, it's going to be strong language. Okay, so Azuhul Chudei, Amar Lei, Vayomar Hashem, Eli Al Teitzar Smoav, Val Titka Ba Milchama. So now, while paying a shiva kol to Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, so he says the following. So let's take a look now at how we are instructed to relate to Moav. So the Torah says regarding Moav, the nation of Moav, Al Titkar Ba Milchama. V'chim Allah Adat Hashem Moshe Lassos Milchama Shalab Rishos. Ela Nasa Moshe Kavach Homer Be'atzmo Amar. Ma Midyanim Shalabau Ela La'azur Es Moav. Now, as far as the Midyanim are concerned, so the Midyanim only came to help Moav. And Amar Torah Tzrur Es HaMidyanim V'kisim Osam. Now, how should our national attitude towards the Midyanim make their lives miserable? Tzrur es haMidyanim, and the Midyanim are only accessories to Moav. And so now Moshe says, okay, so let's now just move up the logic ladder. So if that's true regarding the Midyanim, how do you think we should be towards Moav? Perfect. Turn page, top of the Amud Beis. Moavim atzmam lo kol shekein, amar lo kadosh baruch hu lo kishalta al dati. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, look, I hear your thought process. I'm overruling. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, I'm telling you that's not my thought process. Why? Because I know the future, and that is shtei preidus tavos yeshli lotzi mehem rusa moavia nama haamonis. So we're going to have two matriarchs coming from Moav and Ammon respectively. Rus and Naama are coming from Moav and Ammon respectively. And so therefore, because they're coming out from them in the future, so I'm telling you, leave Moav alone. Now, Valo Dorim Kavachomer. So now Ula turns to Rav Shmuel and says, now let's consider. So Uma Bishul Shtei Predos Tovos Heim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sorry. Chas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Al Shtei Umas Gedolos V'lo Hecharivan. Bitul Shel Rebbe Im Kshirehi Uruyehi. Latziz Mimena Dover Tov Alachas Kama V'kama. Da Havachaya. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is ready to save an entire nation just for the production of one woman for Moav, one woman for Ammon, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us that we're going to save an entire nation. So if anything good were to come out of your daughter, you don't think HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have allowed her to live? That was the different nechama that Ula gives to Rav Yehuda. I told everyone, brace yourselves. Okay. Okay. I wish, and all right, my chavrus and I also struggled this morning. I wish I'd be able to tell you, oh, in other words, those are words of real comfort. Okay, I don't know. In other words, I'm simply saying, I don't know how to present this Gemara in the way the Gemara is obviously intended. Meaning, obviously, the intention of the Gemara over here is that these are comforting words that Ula is providing over here. And it's my lack of understanding. Okay? Just, I'll be honest. If I can guess, I think more people than not are going to be on my side in terms of lack of understanding. But
you mean you can make an assumption? it wasn't really impugning the guy's daughter, but it's just saying that Hashem has like a sense of precision for his
Correct. Okay. In other words, to just simply say we don't understand, I think that's, you know, that's the easiest and that's always the case. But in other words, but okay. Anyway, right. To say it out of context, nothing's good is going to come from your daughter. Meaning that's rough. That's really rough. Again, it may be true, and it may be part of the Akash Baruch Hu's Cheshbonos, but to say it as comforting words, okay. Again, it's you know, it's hard to hear, but Gemara said it. My job is, you know, to try to present the Gemara as best as I can over here. I fell short. Okay, we continue. Amar Rabbi Chaya bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Akash Baruch Hu mekapech schar kol birya, ve'afilu schar sichana. So here we go, famous Gemaras regarding. Now we're going to go back to the source of Ammon and Moab, and that, of course, are the daughters of Lot. First one producing Moab, and the second one producing Ammon. And the Gemara now is going to make these comments over here of the Gemara are classic comments, right? We should remember every piece of Gemara. Right? I fail to do so, but at least over here, like this one, everyone knows. The Ila Bechira de Kamra Moav Amar Lo Kosh Baruch Hu La Moshe Al Teitzar Es Moav Al Titkar Ba Milchama Milchama Hu Delo Ha Inguri Aved Behu. The older one, how did she name their son Moav? I'm not going through the whole story of Lot and the daughters. I'm assuming right now the listener knows the story. So over here we're just going to now the fact that the son was born and the older daughter named her Moav, which obviously is an acronym of Me'av. Torah says it. It came from the father, and obviously that's not something you want to broadcast. That's not polite language. That's not a nice way to describe her. And the consequence of that is that later, generations later, when now instructions were, how should the Jewish people treat Moab? So the Torah says, Al titgar ba milchama. Now don't go to war with them. Which means anything short of that, that's okay. Right? An guri aved behu. You want to subjugate them? That's fine. Now, Tzira de Kamra Ben Ami. Now, the younger one named their son Ben Ami, and Ben Ami, that's much more refined. And therefore, now we move generations later. Amar Lekar Baruch Hu Moshe V'Karav Tamul B'nei Amon Al Titzurim V'Al Titkar Bam Klal Dafilu Anguri Lo Tavid Behu. There, you're not allowed to start war with them. You're not allowed to subjugate them. Okay. And now, we are understanding, the Gemara is teaching us, it's based on the refined language of the younger over the older. The Gemara now is going to cut both ways. You'll see what I mean. Amar Rabbi Chaya bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha la'olam yaktim adam l'dvar mitzvah. Okay, when you have a mitzvah opportunity, so jump at the mitzvah opportunity. How do I know that? Shebishvil laila acha shekadmasa b'chira l'tzira, kadmasa arba doros l'yisrael, oved yisha v'dav v'shama v'ilo l'tzira, ad rechavam d'chziv v'shem imo. Na'amaha Amonis. Now the older one jumped at the mitzvah opportunity. Now, I hope you're wondering right now, sleeping with one's father is a mitzvah opportunity. So Tosos over here, it's an easy question, right? You don't have to be that schooled to think about it. So Tosos over here points out mitzvah just simply in this context means she was l'shem shamayim. In other words, she was really thinking she was doing right. Okay. In other words, she wasn't, but in her, at least her intention was good. So that's the Gemara's point over here. So, and she thought she was doing good, and she jumped at the opportunity. And because of that, remember, who were we waiting for from the older one? Rus. She came generations earlier, specifically four generations earlier than that of that which was produced by the younger. Why? Because the younger took, you know, she took her time to do it. I say took her time, by the way, the next night, but you understand. Okay. Tanu Rabbanan Shoshi Yisrael Shenagach Shosh Shukusi Potter. Vishal Kusi Shenagach Shosh Yisrael Tam Mishlam Chati Nezek Umud Mishlam Nezek Shalem. Rabbi Meir Omer Shosh Yisrael Shenagach Shosh Shukusi Potter. Vishal Kusi Shenagach Shosh Yisrael Bein Tam Bein Muad Mishlam Nezek Shalem. So over here, we are moving the discussion, but just a little bit. And that is that we're moving the discussion to Akusi. Now, is Akusi a guy? Okay, so the answer is it's a machlokus. So over here, we just went through a brisa, and the brisa cited the Tanakam and Rabbi Meir. And I know I didn't translate, but we'll get it in the course of the upcoming discussion. Let me remember this of Rabbi Meir Kusim Geira Arayos. So it must be the Rabbi Meir's of the position that Kusim are Geira Arayos, meaning effectively. The conversion was not good. I am not today going to go through the background of the Kusi. I find like I've done it a lot recently. If you know the background, great. If you don't know the background, okay. I'll do it in Yirtz Hashem. I'll do it a later date. Anyway, but it comes down now that Rav Meir is qualifying them as Geri Arayos, meaning they're effectively non-Jews. And the Geirus wasn't a good Geirus. Forced conversion. And they're effectively, and why? Because as far as Nezek is concerned, according to Rav Meir, their halacha is what we learned at the Mishnah. Okay, good. It's good meaning it matches. The problem is that we know Rav Meir's position regarding a kesem that comes from a kusi. So kol hakesem emabai me rekem tohorim. Rabbi Yehuda mitame mimnei shehen gerim v'toim. Mi bein hanachrim tohorim, mi bein Yisrael ubein akusim. So the Rabbi Meir mitame v'chachamim mitarim. Shalonech shadu al kismayim. Okay. So now, what if a kesem is discovered? Now, I'm not going to go through every detail right now, nor am I going to go through every point that we just learned together. In other words, I'm just going to zoom into the one point that we need to know, a kesem of a kusi. Now, a kesem is not a discharge, but in other words, but it's rather a discharge found on an article of clothing. So in other words, she didn't actually see it discharged from her, nor did she have a hargasha, nor did she have a sensation. But in other words, she just simply found it on her clothing, which means that it could be that it came from her, but it came from her without a hargasha, as Rashi points right here on our daf. So she is not tamei mid d'oraisa, and it's only a tumah mid d'rabbanan. Okay, and this is the world of ksamim. Okay, kesem literally means a stain. So the halacha is that when it comes to a kesem, so if it's a kesem discovered by a Jewish woman, so she's an ida, albeit mid d'rabbanan, not min haTorah. So far, so good. That's a lot of information that I just dropped very quickly. Now, what if it's a kesem of a guy? Tahora. Now, it's true that if a nachriya has a actual discharge, so she'll be tamei midrabanan, but that's an actual discharge with a hargasha. But if it's just a kesem, she'll be tahora. Again, a lot of information. Now, all we need to hear right now is Rav Meir. Rav Meir says that what happens if a kesem of a kusi? Tamei. Which means what according to Rav Meir? It means that she's Jewish. So, Alma, because of Rav Meir, Kusim Geri Emesim. So over here, the discrepancy between Nezek and Kesem. When it comes to Nezek, how did Rav Meir categorize the Kusi as a guy? When it comes to Kesem, how did Rav Meir categorize the Kusi as a Jew? Pick a lane. You can't be in both. So Am Rabbi Abahu, Kanasu Shekanas Rav Meir, Bamamonim Shalo, Yit Amu Bahem. So Rabbi Abahu says that what Rav Meir holds fundamentally is that on one hand, they're Geri Emes. They really are Jewish. But in other words, but at the same time, however, their practicing of Yiddishkeit was not the best, and the Chachamim wanted there to be separation between Jew and Kusi. And as a result of that, so they imposed a penalty, and that penalty would try to create distance between them. That is Rabbi Abahu's approach. So and the Gemara challenges. I'm a Mesa Rabbi Zerveilo Naros Shieshlem Kanas, and that is Abalamam Zeres Valnasina Valakusim V'Isakadach Kanas Rabbi Meir B'Mamonam. So then Hachanami Niknos Kedesh Lo Yitamu Bahen. So the Gemara says, now, within this approach that Rabbi Abahu presented in defense of Rabbi Meir, really fundamentally they're Jewish, but a knas on their money to create separation between Jew and Kusi. If that's true, then what about the Mishnah in Ksuvos? The Mishnah in Ksuvos, it's the first Mishnah of the third parak, tells us that in the event that a man is ma'anes a Kusi, he has to pay knas. Now, didn't you just teach me, Rabbi Abahu, that Rav Meir holds them to be really fundamentally Jews, but don't award them any money in order to create separation. So Amar Abaye, so Abaye gives the answer, and that is Kedesh Lo Yichot Niskar. Abaye says no. In other words, look, in that case over there, we're talking about a man violating a woman. Over there, what are you going to do? We're going to exempt him from any kind of monetary fine. So in other words, in order to create distance, but over there he's a chote. He's violating a woman. We don't want a chote to profit. So the Gemara says, v'nisvei l'aniyim. The Gemara says, okay, but why don't we do the following? Fine him and give the money to the aniyim. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Meir, mishum da'avei ma, mishein lo tovim. The Gemara says, no. No, that's that. In other words, no one's gonna claim that money, right? That money may never end up getting to its designated recipient. In other words, once we are going to force him to have to pay her, we know that he's going to have to pay, and we don't want the chote to be nisgar. Okay. So the last thing that we just covered over the course of today's daf was Rav Meir's viewpoint of a kusi, geri emes, geri arayos. Seems like he's giving us mixed messages. And Rabbi Abba is explaining, no. Maker din, a kusi is really geri emes. Geri emes. It just happens to be that within kenas, so they waived the kenas, so that creates separation between Jew and kusi. Adkan. We'll stop over here. Tomorrow, Mitzvah Shem, new Mishnah. Sure.